Are we all holding Chof Zayin Amud Aleph, beginning the second parak, continuing to deal with the dinim of shechit? So most of the first parak, we dealt with who can shecht and who can't, what times you can shecht, what kind of knife you can use, etc. Now we're going to continue with the dinim of what is the definition of shechit. So the Mishnah says, "Hashechet echad ba'oif u'shnayim v'behema." If a person shechts one of the two simanim, you have two major pipes in the neck, which is what we're concerned with as far as shechita. You have the windpipe and the esophagus. So if you shecht at least one of them in a bull, the shnayim v'behema, or if you shecht both of them in a behema, shechitas ekshera, then the shechita is far. The ruba shel echad kamoihu. And if you shecht through the majority of any one of those simonim, then it's the equivalent of the whole thing. So you don't have to actually shecht through the entire simon, the entire one simon for a bird, the entire two simonim for an animal. It's enough that you cut through the majority of each one of them. The Baal Tulim, in fact, points out, Gemara is going to bring later on a pasuk that says, "Vezavachta mit korcho mitzencha kasher tzivisicha." And from there we learn that there is a further doubt. The fact that it says Kasher Tzivisicha, Hashem tells Moshe as I commanded you, and we don't find Hashem commanding Moshe explicitly the dinim of Shechita in the Torah. The Gemara points out later on that this is where we see that there's a Torah Shabbat. This is one of the sources where we see that there's a Torah Shabbat path that gives us all the dinim of Shechita. Anyway, Baal Tulim points out that the words of Zavachtam and Karcho Mitzoncha are the same gematria as the phrase over here, Rov Echad Ba'oif, Rov Shnayim Behema, that it's enough to cut the majority of one of the two pipes by a bird, and you have to cut the majority of both of them by an animal. Why that is, why the difference between birds and animals, we'll learn about tomorrow. That's it. And then he says the word kasher, the next word in the pasuk, kasher, tzivisicha, stands for, if you rearrange the letters, is the initials of rubo shel echad kamoihu, the majority of any one type is like the entire thing. So there you have, right there in the pasuk, you have hints to these ideas that we're saying in the Mishnah. The Mishnah continues, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, ad sheyishchetes haveridim. Rabbi Yehuda says it's not enough to just cut the one or the two pipes. You also have to cut the veridim, the blood vessels, the jugular veins. Why is that? We'll learn in the Gemara later on, Rav Hashem, why Rabbi Yehuda requires that. We're going to say that Rabbi Yehuda requires that particularly by birds, because birds are often roasted whole, and you want to make sure the blood will drain out properly, as opposed to animals are anyway cut up and butchered before you're going to roast them. So therefore you don't need to do that. The Mishnah continues. Simon echad chatsi echad ba'oif. If you were to shecht only half of one simon by a bird, the echad b'chetzi b'behema, or you shecht with one and a half simonim by an animal, shechitas absolutely, the shechita would be possible because, like we said, you have to have the majority of one of them or the majority of both of them. Tosfos points out, of course, it's also if you were to do half of each one of them by a bird, it would also be possible. But what was the reason why the Mishnah phrases it this way is because we already said you have to shecht, it's enough to shecht one by a bird. So now we're saying, but it does have to be the majority; it cannot only be half. But again, if you did the majority of one of at least one pipe by a bird and the majority of both pipes by an animal, then the shechita will be kosher. The Gemara is going to point out right away why the Mishnah needs to repeat that. We already have that earlier in the Mishnah. So the Gemara says, Hashoichet, the Evet Ein Lachatchilaloi. When the Mishnah is saying that if he shechted, then that one simon or two simonim respectively, so that implies only b'dievet. Which implies that it shouldn't, you shouldn't do that. Otherwise, the Mishnah, instead of saying hashoichet, whenever you have an expression like that, a hey and then a verb over there, it means the one who does such and such, then here is the din, implying you shouldn't have done this to begin with, but since you already did it, then here is the din. So the question is, fine, by a bird I can understand. It means that you should shecht both, and if you shechted only one, then it's only b'dievet. But if you're saying shnayim b'behem, that if you shechted both of them by an animal, what else do you want? Shnayim b'behem l'chatchila loy. You're telling me by an animal, l'chatchila, two simonim is not good enough. Ad kama l'shchit l'lezel. How far do you have to go? Two simonim is two simonim. That's that. There's nothing else to cut. And we're certainly not going to say that it means that you have to cut the viridin, as Rabbi Yehuda says, because again, as Gemara is going to point out later on, that even Rabbi Yehuda is only saying that din by birds, which often are roasted or cooked whole. So what does the Mishnah mean exactly? Hashoichet, that if one shechted the two simonim by an animal, then b'dievet is kosher, what would be the chachilah thing to do? So the Gemara says he both say ma echad ba'oif. One possibility is the word hashoichet is primarily focused on the case where he shechted only one by a bird. So the fact is, it is a kosher shechet if you cut one pipe, but nevertheless, the chachilah, you do need to cut both of them. So maybe the Ramban talks about maybe the Hatzchila even the Midrash. So then he says that no, it's really Midrabanan. But there's no such thing as Hatzchila B'diyevet. It didn't Midrash. So fine, Hatzchila. So Midrash. So you can just shef one simon, and that's Midrabanan. They're telling you shef the both of them. On the other hand, the Kesef Mishnah understands that I'm to be saying that it's even Minat Torah, you're supposed to shef both, and the Torah is just telling you, but the fact there is a lot of filler and video, but here, you shefted only one, then it's kosher. The Boisema, or the other possibility, the Hashoichet is really focusing on Din Ruber Shal Echad Kamoyu, the fact that we're saying in the Mishnah that if you shef through the majority of any one pipe, of any pipe, then it's considered like that entire pipe. So that kind of thing is only b'diyevet, but the chatchila you should actually shech through the entire pipe, because otherwise you might not shech through the whole thing. You might shech only half or less than half and think that you did the whole thing. So there are different possibilities the Prima Gadim talks about. So you have two answers over here. What are nafkaminas between them? According to the first explanation, for example, by a brood, you should indeed shech most of both simonim, but you don't have to shech the entire simonim, neither by a brood nor an animal, whereas the second one is saying always, when you're cutting simonim, you should always be cutting the whole thing and only be d'yevet. If you cut most of it, then you don't need to. The first answer is telling you two chumras, you have to shech both simonim, both by an animal and by a behemoth, and the second one is coming to be mekel, and then it's not, well, the third possibility of the Prima Gadim says it's not really machlokas l'din, it's just different ways, different complementary answers. Fine. The Gemara continues. Kamash Simon. We have a Simon now for three Amiroyim that are going to be, we're going to discuss now the question, how do we know Shchita takes place at the neck? So you would say, what do you mean? Where else is Shchita supposed to take place? But the Gemara is always looking for an actual source for something. Like a midi below the mizi barai. So we know there's nothing in Toto or in the world at large that's not hinted at someplace in Torah Shabbat Sav. So the Gemara wants to look for a hint in Torah Shabbat Sav that Shchita means what we think of as Shchita, meaning to cut the neck. So Kamash Simon, there is a Simon for three Amuroyim that are going to address this point. Rav Kahana, Rav Yemar, and Tonaj Rabbi Shmuel. So Omer Rav Kahana, Minayim L'Shchita Shumin HaTzacher. How do we know that Shchita takes place by cutting the neck? Shenemar, because the pasuk says, how was what the word for Shchita? The Shochat as Ben Abokar, when it comes to an Oila, it says you should shech the cattle. The word b'shochat, we can break down, mimokam sheshoch chateihu. In the place where it bends is where chateihu, where it bends, meaning in other words, where it bends its neck to eat or whatever, is where chateihu. Now Rashi says the word chateihu can have two meanings. It can mean make it pure, as in make it fit to eat, kosher. Sometimes in Aramaic, in fact, sometimes the Gemara will use the word dechei, which is the Aramaic word for tahar, to refer to something that's kosher. So chateihu, make it kosher, make it tahar and kosher, as the Gemara is going to go on to point out in a second, that the word that shoda shechitui has that meaning. Another possibility, it actually says chateihu means cleanse it, drain its blood and clean it out through the shechita. So shocha breaks down shoch chateihu. So the Gemara says, first of all, minayidai chateihu lishne dekuyehu. First of all, how do we know the word chateihu means to cleanse? Dichtiv v'chitei es habayis, because you have the pasuk where the tzaraas of the house is, the pasuk describes how the kohen does the ritual with the broods and the water and so forth. And the pasuk is v'chitei es habayis, you should cleanse the house. So we see that the shodesh chite means to clean, means to cleanse. The boy saying a mehacha, oh, you have another passage. David pleads with Hashem and tell him after the whole story of Bathsheba, techateini the ezer ve'etar, cleanse me with ezer, like metaphorically sprinkle part of Adam or water on me to make me tahar, the etar, and I will become tahar. So again, we see that the techateini means to cleanse me. Rashi points out that would work according to the first explanation. That chateihu means cleanse it and makes it and make it able to or according to the fact that he says the gusa that we have in front of us, the lashon dachuyehu, that's a lashon of making it cleansed, would fit better with the second lashon, that chateihu means to drain out the blood and clean it out. According to the first version, that it means make it partial for eating, the gusa would have to be lashon dachshulihu, that chitui is a lashon of making something partial and fit for its use. As we see now, the house is fit for use, and you can live there again, and now David is fit for his purpose in the world and is no longer burdened by that aveva. In modern Hebrew, for the same reason they use chitui to mean like sterilizing, like medical equipment or whatever, or disinfecting, for the same reason. So therefore, so Shirpan Mimokim Shashroch Chateihu, so in the place where the animal bends, namely its neck, is where Chateihu is where you should cleanse it or make it ready for use. Well, the Gemara says the Eimim is Novo. Okay, so how do you know it doesn't mean the tail? The tail also bends. Now, again, you know, the Gemara is not seriously entertaining the notion that you should be able to cut the tail of an animal, and that would be a valid shita, but the Gemara just, this is the way of the Gemara, to go with questions and answers to arrive at the truth. And therefore, the Gemara asks this question as well. It's brought in the Alter Rebbe brings in Tanya, but based on the Zohar, that whenever you have a question in Torah, means there's a clipper over there, which then we have to burrow through that clipper to get at the truth. So therefore, the Gemara does things in a way of questions and answers to be mevara, to be able to refine out these sparks of kedusha out of the clippers. So how do we know that it doesn't mean the tail? So the Gemara answers shoch. Yeah, but when the word shoch does mean bent, and it's true the tail is bent, but it's always bent. Mikhlal shazokuf be'inen. You infer that we're talking about something which, generally speaking, is straight. A lot of times it's straight, and then sometimes it's bent. The next, it's that category. The tail, the tail is always bent over, and therefore you can't call it shoch as in something which is sometimes bent. Okay, the Gemara says the emim et oznoi. Maybe it means you have to cut the ear of the animal, which the ear is also sometimes straight and sometimes bent down. And the answer is, but in a dam nefesh v'leka. Yeah, but you also have to have the shachat results that you're going to have dam nefesh. You're going to have the blood, the lifeblood of the animal is going to pour out of it. You don't have that. If you cut the ear doesn't have enough of a blood supply that the blood vessels there are not large enough for the dam nefesh to go out. So the Gemara says, okay, the emim we would only have that by the neck. So the Gemara says, okay, the emim de kora va'ozel ad dam ha'nefesh. Fine, maybe what it means is, the pasuk would be implying, you start the shechita process by cutting the ear, and then you continue cutting or ripping until you reach the throat. How do you know that not? The truth, and furthermore, you have another question. What about the five basic dinim that pasul shchita shehiyah drasa chalada hagrom of ikur, all those five, which we've touched on them a little bit here and there in the previous perek. We're going to go into more detail about many of them in our perek. Some of them like hagroma we went through in a fair amount of detail in the previous perek, what the exact area is in the neck where you can shecht and not the shehiyah. Pausing during the shchita, durasa pressing or chopping, chalada having the knife hidden and not visible the whole time during the shchita, hagroma during the shchita too high or too low on the neck, the ikur or ripping through the simonim rather than cutting them. So all of those manolan, where would you know those? Even if you're going to say, in other words, so the two questions. First of all, how do you know v'shachat doesn't mean to start at the ear and then work your way down to the neck? Second of all, How do you know these dinim of shchita? El Gemara. So obviously the answer is those five. We know halacha l'moshe v'sinai, that those are the five things that pass shchita. Well then, shchita min atzava, nami Gemara. Well then, the very fact that you shecht the neck is also something that we learn from part of Torah Shabbat Peh. So we're not actually learning it from the pasuk. So even though Rav Kahana is saying you can learn it from the word v'shachat, in fact we're not, because then you'd be left with the possibility that it means to start shechting at the ear. So what is the pasuk? The shachat. What does that word, the shachat, come to teach us? We're fine. You can break it down into mimokum shachateu. All it means is, in other words, it means, given that the word the shachat does mean to clean out or to make fit, it means that you just have to shach the simonim deloy the shavi gistera. It means you don't cut the animal in two. You don't chop off the head. You don't chop off the head completely. There are Rishonim, in fact, you say that you shaka shouldn't chop off the head completely, because then the result is that then blood gets absorbed. When you break through the neck bone, it causes more blood to be absorbed into the other parts of the body. How that works physiologically, I'm not sure, but that's how it is. And then the result is it's going to be much harder to kasher the meat and try to get out all the blood. You may even need to roast the meat, because ordinary kashering won't be sufficient. On the other hand, the Mordechai brings the Maharam Luttenberg that no, Rashi just is saying that you don't need, the Gemara is telling us, and Rashi is explaining, you don't need to, but if you want to, then go right ahead. The point is, in other words, Chateihu means just remove the blood, drain out the blood, you don't need anything beyond that. Or according to Rashi said, Rashi points out, according to the other explanation, that Hatehu means to make it fit for eating. It means that you don't, it means Shavoy L'Shavya Gisra means don't do Dirosa. Make sure when you're doing the Shchita to not do Dirosa. Yes, the halachas of Shchita are basically halacha Moshe Messina, like we said, but nevertheless, you do have the word Meshachat, according to this way of looking at it, does give us a hint to one of them that you shouldn't press the knife against the animal, because as the Gemara is going to say later on in this parak, in b'shochat, the word b'shochat means a back and forth motion, and therefore, so we're saying that we can also learn that it means that don't do drosa, because if you do drosa, one way of doing it is a chopping motion, and to chop off the head from the body. So the point is, in other words, the Gemara is saying that fundamentally we can learn the halacha, that fundamentally how we know the halachas of Shchita is halacha Moshe Mitzrayim. Fine, at most you have, in the word B'shachat, you have a hint to one of them, to Drosa, or maybe not even, maybe the Gemara is saying that it just means that you don't need to, or maybe even that you shouldn't cut the entire head off the body, but rather cut through the simonim and stop there. Tosfos brings a different gerusa. Rashi had pointed out that the word over here in the Gemara is v'tu, which means the Gemara is saying in addition. So we have two questions. Number one, how do you know v'shachat doesn't mean to start from the ear? And number two, how would you learn the other five halachas of Shchita? Rashi points out the manuscript that he had in front of him had the gius of a litai mech, which means an according to your svara, meaning that the Gemara would be kind of turning the question back on the answer on the questioner. You're telling me the word v'shachat could conceivably mean cutting from the ear, but litai mech according to your svara, how would you learn the other five halachas? Tosfos, so Rashi doesn't like that gius and says the two. Tosfos explains that actually that gius of a litai mech is correct. Rav Kahana would answer back. The Makshin was asking on him. He brings the Jerosh of a Shachat means to cut the neck, because Mamakam Shachate. A Makshin asks on him, how do you know it doesn't mean the ear? So Rav Kahana answers back to him, So Rav Kahana answers back to him, look, you know, the fact is that, we know from B'shochat that it means to shech from the neck, but after all, do you do from the back of the neck, do you do from the front of the neck? So therefore, so in fact, really time may, according to your svara, how would we know all these dinim, necessarily halacha l'moshe m'sinai? Okay. So all of that is one way of understanding how we know that Shchita takes place at the neck. We thought we can learn from the word B'shachat. We can't necessarily, but at least we say it. Basically, we're saying it's halacha Moshe Sinai, and the word B'shachat teaches us the point that you don't make the animal into a gistra, you don't cut it in two by chopping off the head completely. Okay. Rav Yema says here's another source that Shchita takes place at the neck. Amakrov is Zavachta. Another word we have in the Torah for Shchita is Zavach. And you can see it in Darshan. And also, Mimachav says Zav. From the place where the blood flows, chatehu is where you should break it, is where you should shech. So my mashmah, the chatehu lishna the mitrahu. How do we know the word chatehu means to break? So just did the pasuk is al tirov al techos. Hashem and Moshe tells the Jewish people. Hashem tells Moshe and Moshe tells the Jewish people, don't be afraid and don't be broken. So we see in other words, techos means that the shoda ches kot chesof means to break. Okay. Again, ve'ema mechoitmoi. So maybe it means you shech at the nose, because the nose of an animal runs all the time. And the answer is zovai de chitu b'inim. What we require is that the flowing should take place through the chitu, through the action by which you're breaking and shechting the animal, cause the flow that wasn't there before. V'hai zov me'elavu, the animal's nose is constantly wet. That's something that's constantly mucus is flowing out of it on its own. You don't need a chatehu in order to create that zov. So that's not what the pasuk means. Okay, the Gemara says the emam liboy. Fine, maybe it means that you shech by cutting into the heart. You cut into the heart. There's of course going to be lots of blood flowing out. And you have another question as well. How would we know the other dinim of shchita that those things pass over shchita? Ela Gemara. Again, we have to say necessarily that all those things we know from halacha l'moshe m'sinai. Well, then shchita minatzav and nami Gemara. So then also we can say that shechting at the neck is actually halacha l'moshe m'sinai and not something that we derive from the psukim. So what is the word zavah come to teach us? The word zavahta is, like we said before, to l'shavya gistra, that it means that you don't cut the animal's neck, you don't cut through completely and divide the animal into two. Again, that you don't have to, or you shouldn't, that's the case maybe, that it's enough to do shchita just the simonim. But fundamentally, we're not learning from a pasuk, we're learning halacha mishmishina. Okay, third opinion, Dvei Rabbi Shmuel Tana. In the yeshiva of Rabbi Shmuel, they taught a braisa that gives another source. How we know that shitza takes place at the neck. They say, when it says, going back to the word b'shochat, al tutu b'shochat ela v'sochat. Don't read the shochat with a shin, but rather the shochat, and then therefore you can doubt in it, from the place where the animal verbalizes, namely its neck, where it makes noises, chatehu is where you should cleanse it or where you should make it fit for use. So there's a similar drasha to the Kahanas, except instead of using the word shoch, which means bending, instead we're using the word soch, which means to vocalize. We're there. It makes it clear that it means the throat, which is where the animal vocalizes from. The word soch literally means to speak. Animals don't speak, but in other words, they make their noises. Okay, the Gemara says the emim l'shono. Fine, but maybe it means you cut the tongue. And the answer is, like we said before, being in dama nefesh for lecha, because you need dama nefesh to flow out, and if you cut the tongue, you don't have dama nefesh. So the Gemara says still, like we said before about the ear, the emim dekorav ozel ad dama nefesh. Maybe it means that you should start shechting at the tongue, and then continue and cutting through and ripping through until you reach the throat. And then again, you have the question, Shehiya Drosa Chaloda Agrama Ve'ikum, and all on how we know that those five things pass over Shkita. So you can't say that you can learn from the word Veshachat anything about where the Shkita takes place. Ela Gemara, necessarily the fact that you have the five things that pass over Shkita is Allah HaMashim Sinai, Shkita Menetzav, and Nami Gemara, well then the fact that you have to shef at the neck is itself also something Allah HaMashim Sinai, Ukral, my also. So what is the word Veshachat come to teach us? As, like we said before, really the shavya gistera, that means you don't make the animal into a gistera, you don't cut it in two, the shitta does not involve cutting it in two. Right, so the three possibilities that we said, that we learned from the actual words that the Torah uses for shitta, the shochat, the zavakta, as the case may be, the Gemara said that's not really where we learn it from. At most, you can learn from that the din to not make it a gistera. Again, according to Rashi's two explanations, one first explanation means, therefore, you're not learning any of the halachas of shitta itself from these words. All you're learning is something what shitta is not, that doesn't involve cutting through the mafrepes, the neck bone of the animal. Or according to Rashi's second explanation, fine, there's one thing we can learn from those words, namely that you shouldn't do jirasa, that you shouldn't chop off the head and the chopping motion. But everything else, all the other four things that pass through shitta, as well as the basic fact that shitta takes place at the neck, those you're going to have to resort to halacha mishum Sinai. We don't have it in a pasuk. Okay. Having brought those three opinions, the Gemara brings another one. The Tana Maisel Mehacha, a Tana of a Braisa, brings yet another source that Shchita takes place at the net. The Tanya, the Priyoim, Minayim L'Shchita Minatzaver, how do we know that Shchita takes place at the net? Shenema, the positive, when it talks about a Korban Ola, and it talks about how they take the pieces, they cut the pieces of a Korban Ola, and they up, and they bring them on them, and they bring them and burn them on the Mizbeach, the Ochu B'nei Aaron HaKoyinim HaShenesachim, the sons of Aaron, the Koyinim, should arrange the pieces of the cut up pieces of the Korban, so the pasuk says they should arrange the pieces, and it continues as a rosh ve as a poder. They should arrange the head and the poder. The poder is a sheet of fat. Either it's a diaphragm or it's the sheet of fat covering the stomach and the intestines. It's among the immortem that are burnt on the Mizbeach, and as the Gemara is going to say soon, you take it and put it on top of the head for to make it look nicer. So the pasuk says they should arrange the pieces, the head and the poder. So matam by mas rosh vesa poder. So what does the pasuk mean by adding those words as a rosh vesa poder? V'aro rosh peder v'chlaf on esachim. Are you? After all, the head and the poder are all parts of the animal. You cut apart the animal. At one point, you have the head. At another point, you open it up, and you take out the poder, this sheet of fat, the chevav. So why did the pasuk need to single them out? When it mentions esan esochin, then it means automatically those as well. The lama yatsu, so why are they singled out? So the Braisa says, v'fisha nema v'hishet esa oiva. Because a couple of psukim earlier, it says he should skin the oiva, the nitach, and he should cut it up. Now, so that means, in other words, that only, you would think, therefore, when it says, v'nitach is the same shodesh as nesachim, so that would imply that only the parts of the animal that are skinned are called nesachim. By the way, we have to distinguish, we Ashkenazim pronounce a sof and a samach the same, and a chof and a ches the same, so we can confuse it with the word nesachim, that we nun samach, Chof Yud Mem that we learned over and over in Menachos about the libations, the flour and wine and oil that go on the Mizbeach together with a korban or sometimes by itself. But here we're talking about Nisachim Nun Sof Ches Yud Mem, which is from the Shodesh Mitach, which means to cut up pieces. The cut up pieces of the animal. In modern Hebrew, you have the word nituach, which means an operation, a surgery, comes from the same shirkish. Anyway, the pasuk says again, the hishet asa'ola v'nitach, you should strip the skin off the oila and cut it up. So, Eimli Ela Nisachim, Sheyeshin Bechal Hashata. So you would only know from that, but the definition of Nisachim, the definition of pieces of the animal for this purpose, is the ones that need to be skinned. Minayim L'Rabas is a Rosh. How do we know to include also the head? That the head also has to be of the animal also has to be placed on the Mizbeach. Now, you don't skin the head. Rashi points out, we don't do Zvachim, for example, that we have the whole discussion over there about when we say things that go on the Mizbeach. Im olo lo yered, if something was placed on the Mizbeach, the yered, we leave it there versus not. And we mentioned in that connection, for example, you have an animal's head still with the wool or the hair or whatever on it, and you put it on the Mizbeach and you leave it that way. So we see that the head is not skinned, so you still have the skin and you still have the wool or the hair on it. And the beard of a goat and other such things like that. So the head is not skinned to begin with, so maybe therefore it shouldn't be considered part of the Nisachim. Maybe therefore it doesn't actually need to be placed on the Mizbeach. So how do we know? How do we know to include the head, which after all has already been removed, has already been cut off from the animal? So how do we know that you have to put it on the Mizbeach? And there's two different points over here. Number one, we're saying that the head is not skin, and number two, we're saying it's already been removed from the animal before you ever hung it up to start cutting it up. So before we should deal with exactly what Rashi is saying over here, because it's not skin, if we need a special ribui for it, or is Rashi saying, and the Gemara is saying, because it was cut off because it was completely removed from the animal to begin with, is that the key factor? Anyway, Shekrav Hutaz, it was already removed from the animal at the time of the Shechita. Now, we did say before that when it comes to animals that you're going to eat, we said before, the Mordechai says that Yeshoimim, you shouldn't cut through the Mafrekas, the neck bone, because you don't want to make blood be absorbed into the rest of the limbs. But when you have an oil here, which is anyway going to be burnt completely on the Mizbeach, then of course that's not a factor. Rashi also points out anyway that even Hutaz doesn't even have to necessarily mean the head being completely removed. Once we cut through the two Simonim, and that's already effectively hutaz. It's already effectively removed because the chayus of the animal depends on the simonim. So now at that point, once the simonim have been cut through, then Rashi uses the expression, the head is as though at this point it was placed in a basket. It's not considered to be attached to the animal anymore, even if it's physically attached still by the skin and some of the muscles and the neck bone and so forth. Anyways, he would think that since the head has been cut at that point, since the neck has been cut, So Talmud Lomar Ves Roshu Ves Pidroi, therefore the Torah spells out that you do have to put the head and the poder, the sheet of fat, on the Mizbeach for Orach, and then arrange them so we see that the head also goes together with the other pieces, even though it's different than them. Now, Midkar, so since the Braise is saying, as a Rosh Shekvah Hutaz, we're mentioning the head that had already been cut and removed from that chop, the chop would be Apostle Shritta, the head that had already been separated from the body, Mikal, the Shittim, and the Tzavah. Well, obviously, that means Shittim takes place at the neck. So that's another source that said, here we finally have a source of an actual pasuk that Shittim takes place at the neck. Okay. So let's go, and Tosfos points out that, fine, that would still, it maybe doesn't answer things completely, it still might mean, for example, we would know it's at the neck, but you wouldn't know whether the shita begins from the front of the neck or the back of the neck. Fine, it would tell us, not like we said before, not from the tail, not from the ear, not from the nose, etc., or the tongue or whatever, but fine, you wouldn't actually know that it means from the front or the back, so it is true even according to this braisa, of course, you still have to resort to halacha l'moshe v'sinai to know many of the dinim of shita. Let's go through and explain the rest of the braisa. So the question is, Matana Pasach Barosh Upadir. First, the Tana begins by asking why the Torah needs to spell out and say that the head and the Pader need to be placed on the Mizbeach, or Masayim Barosh Upidroi. But then later on, the Braisa ends up quoting the words Ves Yerosha Ves Pidroi, which are from a different Pasach, the Pasach that talks about when you bring sheep as a korban. So why is the Tana doing that? Why is he first quoting the Pasach that refers to cattle, and then later on continuing with why the Pasach repeats it by sheep? So the answer is Hakikana. What the Braisa means is as follows. Minayim l'rabasagosh, shakakutaz. So like we said, how do we know to include that the head has to be placed on the Mizbeach, even though it's already been separated from the body? Therefore, now there's a phrase missing in the Braisa. Therefore, it says it's a rosh v'esapoder by cattle. Now, then you have to ask for Rosho Pidre Lamali. Now, why a few psukim later, when it comes to korbanos of sheep, when it comes to an ola of sheep, why does the Torah repeat the words Rosho and Pidre? And the answer is Mibolo Chitanya. And the answer is that the Tana would be telling us implicitly that we learn from that what we learn in another Braisa. How do we know when you're placing the pieces of the animal on the Mizbeach that the head and the Poder go first? Which, in fact, the Mishnah in Masechta Talmid tells us, we'll learn it next year, Be'ez Hashem, that when they bring the Talmid in the morning, for example, then you have a line of Kohenim who are bringing the pieces of the Korban to the Mizbeach and then bringing them from the Mizbeach up onto the fire, and it describes over there how you have the first one in the line is holding the head and the Poder together with also one of the legs of the animal, and the next one holds something else, and the next one holds something else, and so forth, and they bring them up all onto the Mizbeach. So those go first. So how do we know they go first? Talmud Baima, Ves Rosh, Ves Pidre, Ba'orach. Therefore, the Torah mentions the head and the Poder, and he arranges them, implying that not only do those go on the Mizbeach, which we need the first pasuk to tell us, but that they actually go first on the Mizbeach, before everything else. Okay, the Gemara says, Peder, Kama, the Kosi Rahman Alamali. Why do we need the first time that it says Peder in the pasuk? The head, we said, as we saw, the heads are even separated from the body, so we need a special pasuk to tell us that it goes on the Mizbeach anyway. And again, as we said before, maybe it's not even in the category of Nesachim because it's not skins like the other ones, but why does the Torah need to mention Peder over there? So the answer is Mibolot Chidatanya. That we use to teach us what it says in yet another Braisa. What do you do with the head and the peder? He takes the sheet of chaylev and drapes it over the beis hashchita, the part of the cut in the neck where the animal was shechted. So in other words, the kohen is holding the head, the kohen is holding the head upside down with the neck up, and that neck is where it was cut, is where the shechita took place. So now it's full of blood, so it's the covered thing to do before Hashem, to cover it with something, so we cover it with that sheet of fat, the potter, and then they go together onto the Mizbeach. So Tosfos discusses that in that case it could have said one time Rosh and could have said twice Poder. So one time Rosh would tell us that it goes on the Mizbeach, and the two Poders, one would tell us that you put it on the base of Shchita and the other one that the head goes first. And Tosfos explains that no, if it only said one time Rosh, you would say that it means that fine, it means you put the Poder on top of the base of Shchita, but you wouldn't know necessarily that it goes first. Now that it says twice, then it means A, it goes on the Mizbeach at all, and B, that it actually goes first. Fine. So that's what all these Rosh and Poder are teaching us. Okay, so again, the point is, the Braisa had brought us a source where we know that Shchita takes place at the neck. The fact that Braisa is taking it as a given and explaining the Pasuk accordingly, that the head has been separated from the body, that could only be if the Shchita took place at the neck. Again, as Tosfos does point out, it's true we wouldn't know from that whether the front of the neck or the back of the neck. For that, we need other sources. Okay, now the Gemara continues. There's another Tana that brings it from yet another source, the fact that Shchita takes place at the neck. The Tanya, we learn in a Braisa, the Pasuk says, after it talks about the kosher and non-kosher species, Zos Torah Sabahem of our earth. The Pasuk says, at the end of Parsha Shmi, this is the Torah of the animal and of the bird. So you have to ask, Torah shoves the behemoth oath for oath for the behemoth. What Torah, what din is there where birds and where animals and birds are equal? And if you're talking about Tumas Nevela, they're completely different. Behemoth Matama Mago Vamasa, a dead animal that wasn't, whether a non-kosher animal or whether a kosher species that wasn't shechted properly, is Matama a person who touches it or carries it? Carries it, meaning even if he doesn't touch it, let's say he carries it in a box or on a pillow or something. Or if any time of Mago Masa, where's a dead bird, is not matame a person who touches or carries it, as we learned before, and as we learned earlier in our parak, and as we learned in Zvachim. And another place says a dead brood is matame a person only when he swallows it. And that's what we're going to say now. If matame begodim abesabliya, a dead brood is matame a person and his clothing when he swallows it. Behem ain't matame begodim abesabliya. But an animal does not. Now, of course, if he picks it up to eat it, he's going to become tame. But let's say he doesn't pick it up. Let's say, for example, somebody puts it on a long stick and sticks it down his throat. He won't become tame from that. Whereas with a brood, he would. So what does the pasuk mean when it says zos teras abehemavoy, implying that there's some Torah, there's some din that is common to birds and to animals? Tosfos points out there is a different limud we have from it as well. We do have something if an animal was shechted and it turns out to be trefa, nevertheless it's not matame mago masa. So we learn that from this comparison with a bird, because again, when a bird is shechted, then there's no tumas neveila on it, even if it turns out to be trefa. And so it is also with an animal. So okay, we can learn that. We can also learn though what we're going to say now. So be'ez a toda shrubs the behemoth oif for the behemoth. So what toda is there where an animal and a bird are the same? Says the Braisa, Loi Malach, comes to tell you, Ma Behema Veshita, just like an animal, how does it become Torah? How does it become that it's not Matame anymore? Is when you shecht it. Now it's not Nevela anymore. The same way a bird becomes Torah only by shechting. But then you're going to argue, E Ma, so therefore, you have a source for Shechita in the Torah. E malahalan v'roiv shnayim. Now you're going to argue that with an animal, as we said in the Mishnah, you have to shech to at least the majority of both types. Afkan b'shchitas afkan v'roiv shnayim. Maybe by a bird also, you would need the shchita of most of both simanim. And in fact, as we said in the Mishnah, it's enough to do most of one of them. Tamadlema zois. That is why the Torah says zois Torah sabahema, meaning that there is a mute of something that applies only to an animal, namely the having to cut through both simonim, or at least the majority of both simonim. Rashi points out how we know that an animal is roiv shnayim, because we said before in the earlier braisa at the bottom of the previous Talmud, we mentioned that the head has already been hutaz, has already been separated from the body. If you cut through one simon, you can't really call that separated, because it's still a chayus through the second one. So therefore, necessarily, we have to be talking about that you cut through all or the majority of both of them in an animal, and we're saying a brood, you would think, is the same thing. So the Torah tells us Zois to tell us that. Okay. Continues the braisa. Rabbi Yezer says, he used another way of looking at it. So okay, again, according to the Tanakhama of this braisa, what we're learning from Zois Torah of Behemoth Oif is the very fact that broods and animals both require shita. The difference is because of the word Zois, an animal requires both simonim, and Rabbi Yezer requires only one. Rabbi Yezer says different. The Eza Torah shops the behemoth oif for oif for the behemoth. What is the Torah in which broods and in which animals are the same as broods and broods the same as animals? Loi Malach, says Rabbi Yezer, tells you, Ma oifach shodem and aksavah. Just like by broods, how do you make it kosher? How do you make it not nevela by a brood korban? Is from the neck. The Torah clearly says, you have to nip off the neck. You have to nip off the head. So we clearly see that that's being done at the, so we clearly see it's being done at the neck. At the hema, at shema, at sabah, the same way when you shecht an animal, it has to be that you cut at the neck. But you're going to argue then in that case by a bird, it means you cut on the back of the neck, because we learned in the previous parak, Odef itself would mean the part of the neck that's directly behind the head. Mul Odef would mean lower down than that. So if that's where you do malika for a bird, Afkan Mul Odef. So maybe the same thing by an animal, it should also be you do from the back of the neck. Talmud Lema, Malika Sidroshim, Mul Odef, Lo Yavdil. Therefore, the pasuk says that he should by the bird, that he by a chatas ha'oif. It says he should do malik, he should be molik, he should nip off the head, mimul orpif, lo yavdol, and not separate, which we said in previous fetter. It means you cut only one simon, rosh yisholzeh mimul orpif. So the Torah is implying that only when it comes to the head of a bird, do you do mimul orpif, and rosh yisholachah mimul orpif. There's no other case where you do mimul orpif, so therefore an animal has to be shechted from the front of the neck and not the back. Okay. So the Gemara says, "Venerable, yes, a high zoris my ovid." Right? Okay. Well then, so the first, the Tanakama had said that you learn from the pasuk that just like that the animals and birds both require shita. An animal needs shita. Because like we said before, the head is separated from the body by a korban oil, the same thing a bird, and then we use the word zoris to tell us, on the other hand, an animal needs two simonim, a bird only one. What is Rabbi Yezer, though, on the other hand, doing with the word zoris? Rashi points out, Rabbi Yezer is not learning the bird from the animal. On the contrary, he's learning the animal from the bird. So therefore, so what's the miut of the word zoris? Zoris teres abahema. That according to Rabbi Yezer, we would be learning. Achronim deal with the question. Ein hekesh l'metzah. If we have a hekesh, then it means that we would have thought to say that both of them require both simonim and you need zois, and we're saying that Rabbi Yezer is learning the whole concept of shita differently. So therefore, he doesn't even learn the concept from the pasuk that you need two simonim. So therefore, the question is: so what we're pointing to him? What are you doing with the word zois? So the answer is, Elav Zois, Rabbi Yezer would say, if it doesn't say the word Zois, Hava Amina, then he would have thought, Ma Oif B'Simenecha, just like by a bird, you only need to shecht one simen, and it's clear from that, says Tosfos, because by Chatas Oif, the Pasuk says, that he should do Malika V'lo Yavdo, and not divide the head from the body, meaning that he cuts through only one simen. So by bud you need only one simen. So after behema the simen echad, you would have thought that an animal it's fine to only shech one simen, and the fact is it's not. Kol Rachman is zois, therefore the Torah tells us zois. So according to the Tanakhama, zois tells us we know already that by behema you need two, and zois tells us you don't need two by a bird. According to Rabbi Eliezer, it's the other way around. We know that you need one by a bird. How do we know it's not also one by an animal because of zois? So the point is, in other words, again, Rabbi Eliezer points out that since by a bird we know that it's killed by cutting through the neck by Malika, then therefore we can learn from the hekesh with an animal that also animals are shechted by cutting through the neck, but not from the back, but rather from the front. Okay. So far we have a couple of ways of learning that shita takes place at the neck. The Gemara continues, Tony Bakapara. Bakapara teaches a drosha as follows. So now we're done basically with how we know that shchita takes place at the neck, the various proofs that we brought. Now let's get more into this matter of one simon versus two simonim. We said according to the last braisa we just taught that animals need two simonim. We know that from the case of the olas behema, where it says that the head is separated from the body, and then the word zois tells us that doesn't apply to birds. As opposed to where Rabbi Eliezer again says the other way around, we know by a bird it's only one simon, but that chasas oikos is lo yavdo, and we need to know that by an animal it's two, again because of the word zois. So Tony Bakapara teaches a braisa. Here's another way of learning that a bird only needs one simon and an animal needs two. Again, the pasuk says zois toras a behema va oif. This is the Torah of the animal and the bird, implying that there's a hekesh between animals and birds. Now, the Torah continues, V'chol nefesh achaya hore nefesh b'moyer. The Torah continues, and all the living creatures that swarm in the water, meaning fish. So we have three types of life forms that are mentioned in this pasuk: animals, birds, and fish. So, says Bakapara, Hitzolak fosav lo'oy fein behem l'dorbin. The Torah is putting birds between animals and fish. So, what does that mean? L'chayve v'shnei simonin yefshel. You can't say that it means that birds should be required to cut two simonin shahokush l'dogin, because we have a comparison. The Torah is putting birds right next to fish, and fish don't require shchita at all, as we're going to say soon. L'poitre v'lekulmi yefshel, on the other hand, to say that a bird should be potter and you shouldn't need shchita of any simonin at all, also impossible. Shahokush l'behema, because you have a hekesh between it and an animal. And an animal needs shita of the simonim. Okay, so what is the Torah implying to us? Hech shita of a simon echad means to make a bird kosher, you only need to shech through one simon. So in other words, the Torah is giving them an order. Behema, two simonim. Then comes oif, somewhat similar to it, one simon. And then a fish, more similar to birds, which doesn't require any simonim at all. Okay. We're going to learn tomorrow in the Gemara Be'ez Hashem. We're going to learn more deeper reasons behind that, why birds require less shchita than animals. So yeah. But the Gemara asks, Dogim Delav Bnei Shitta Ninu Menolon. Well, how do we know that brood don't require Shitta, which is the premise of this whole Drasha? But you're going to say it's because the Pasuk says, Hatzonu Vopi Yishokot Lahem V'Gomer. Moshe tells Hashem, when the Jewish people are complaining in next week's parasha in Baha'losa, they're complaining, we want meat. And Moshe goes to Hashem and says, so how are you going to supply them? How are you going to supply them with enough meat? Rashi brings two explanations of what Moshe means. One explanation of Akiva says that Moshe is actually doubting Hashem's ability to provide them with enough meat, and the only reason Hashem didn't punish him for it is because it was in private. And then Shimon says, Chas v'shalom, Moshe doesn't deny what Hashem can do. Moshe is just saying, what good would it do to give them all that meat when you're saying that then they're going to be killed by it? In any case, Moshe uses the expression, Hatzonu Vokei Yishokot Lahem, would cattle and sheep, would sheep and cattle be shechted for them? Im es kol drei hayom ye'osef lahem, would you gather for them all the fish in the sea? Now it doesn't say shitta, it says asifa. So I'm asifa ba'al masagi lahu. It sounds like from the pasuk, that it sounds like from the pasuk that fish you only need to gather, you don't need shitta. Well, if you're going to learn that way, Elamayatik, I'm a slug. Well, what about the slug itself, which the psukim can go on to describe, how Hashem brought slug for them, these fat birds, quails, or whatever they are exactly, and the dichtiv and the pasuk says, a few psukim later, by yas was a slug, they gathered the slug. Hochinami b'lav v'shchita, you're going to tell me that slugs don't require shchita? It's not so. The fact is, birds, the slug are birds. We just said it. Can't say that birds don't require shit at all. So obviously the fact that it says osaf by a certain kind of life form doesn't mean that it's enough to gather it without shit. We said shekra hokush lebehema because a brood has a hekish to an animal and therefore it requires a certain degree of shit. So necessarily the fact that it says osaf doesn't mean no shit is needed. And the answer is the Gemara says fine, but the difference is possibly ksiva asifa bimkoim shita achrini. The difference is that by the slob, it does say vayas was a slob, but it's not in the context of shechting other creatures. So fine, the word osaf does mean to gather, but it doesn't mean that by slob you only need to gather and you don't need to shech, because the context over there is not mentioning killing other kinds of life forms for food at all. So therefore we can say it's just telling us the fact that they gathered up the slob. But over here, when Moshe is telling Hashem, Atzonu Voker, imes kol d'ayom, ksiva asifa b'mkayim shchita, it does in fact say the word asifa, ye'osef lahem, in the same place where it talks about b'mkayim shchita d'achrini, in the same context as it's talking about shchita of other kinds of life forms, and therefore, yes, we can in fact learn a drosha from that there is in fact a difference between fish and other creatures like that, where the Torah specifically uses a different expression, Yosef, instead of Yishochet, to imply that in fact fish do not require shchita. The Rambam actually brings a different. The Rambam, when he's bringing these dinim, does bring this. Brings this matter of your osif lahem. So we see that fish only need to be gathered. You don't need to shaft it. Okay. So the Gemara continues. Dorosh over glila. Over glila gave a drosha. Glila means from Golo. Over can mean that he was an actual person. Oiver can mean that was his name. It can also mean Oiver as in a person who was passing through. Whatever the case, he gave a Jerusha as follows. What's the deeper reason why you have these different numbers of simonim? Behema shenivus minaya basha, animals, land animals that were created from the earth, so therefore they have a lot more, chayas, they have a lot more life force to them. Therefore, to make it kosher, to make it able to be eaten, you have to cut both simonim. Dogim shenivrum and amayim, as opposed to fish, which were created from water, and they have therefore very little chayus, hechshed and bevaloi klum, that you don't need any shita to make them kosher at all, you just gather them. Oif shenivrum in a cat, as opposed to birds, are sort of in between. They were created from the, they were created from the mud, with a mixture of dirt and water, So therefore, they're sort of in between, and they have to be, to make them kosher, you have to shecht one single. So that's a deeper reason why the Torah is making this distinction. In Chassidus, it talks about the idea, the fact that they're created from earth, versus water, et cetera, also reflect. You look at a land animal breathes air, a person for that matter breathes air, but they're not really they come from the earth. They're not really conscious of their connection with the earth. They walk on it, whatever, but they're not conscious of that. This is that this is where they came forth from. So therefore, that represents a person who has that represents our world where we have a lesser perception of other course. Intellectually, we can realize that we depend on Hashem for our constant living, but we don't realize it on an ongoing basis. As opposed to fish live in their element, they were created from water, and they have to live in water or else they would die. So therefore, that represents a higher consciousness of other course. And therefore, the Alter Rebbe explains in the Kodesh Torah that therefore fish represent very high level tzaddikim. Therefore, we have the concept of eating fish on Shabbos in order to elevate their neshamas further, and so on and so forth. So therefore, that's the deeper reason behind this. The fish, in other words, already are on a higher ruchnistic level. Therefore, they don't require the birur of shchita in order to make them kosher. On the other hand, land animals need a complete birur to cut through both simonim in order to be mevarer them and make them able to eat. And birds, we're saying, are sort of in between. They represent a higher level of consciousness of other course, but not the highest, like fish. As we're saying, they're created from mud, which is a mixture of dirt and water, and therefore they need only one. Therefore, they have less klippas than them, and therefore you only need one simon in order to make them kosher. You actually have that. Amram writes, when you're eating, you should have first fish, then bird meat, then animal meat. That Amram explains, because each one is easier to digest than the next one, so therefore you should start with the ones that are easier to digest. I'll be serious. It's also the idea to digest them beruchnis. That reflects the fact that to digest and to be able to refine out the sparks of kedusha from fish is easier than it is for birds, and which in turn is easier than animals, and therefore that's reflected in the number of simonim you need for each one of them. There's actually a fascinating thing. There's a sefer from the Beis Yosef called Magid Meshorim. The Beis Yosef had a malach, or was called the Magid of the Mishnah. He comes to the Beis Yosef and tells him, because you've learned Mishnayos, therefore you have the schus that a malach will come and teach you secrets of Torah. And so the Beis Yosef kept a diary where he recorded all the things that was Magid told him. And at one point, he explains to him the deeper idea behind this whole matter of Shchita and the two simonim and the one simon and all that. And he explains the simonim represent the Yetzer Hara and the Yetzer Tov respectively. And the sarcophagus represents the Yetzer Hara because it expands and contracts. The windpipe represents the Yetzer Tov. And he goes on by Rishos to explain over there the deeper reasons behind many of the details that we've said over here. The fact that you need to cut both or only one. The fact that you need to cut through roiv, the fact that you can't do shehiyah and durasa and so forth, and he explains him the pnimis dinyanim up to Kabbalah, what all these things represent. So we're saying that birds were created somewhat in the same way as fish, namely that unlike land animals, which are created only from the dirt, birds are created, we're saying, from a mixture of dirt and water. Rashi actually translates the word lefak with the word gravel, which would mean that Rashi may understand. We don't just mean mud. We mean like the kind of thing where you have like a shallow area of water where you have dirt and water and where you have dirt and water and pebbles all mixed together. And Hashem created birds from that. Omer of Shmuel Kaputka. So the Shmuel Kaputka points out Teda. In fact, you can see that. You can actually see that birds were created from this mud, and in that sense, they have a certain similarity to fish. Because birds have a kind of scale-like things on their legs, similar to fish. So in other words, in a certain sense, they have a certain affinity to fish. They were both created, the fish completely from water, the birds partially, and therefore they have, in token of that, they have scales on their legs. Tosfos points out, the proof is not so much that they were actually created from the mud. The Gemara is going to point out in the Pesukim that give us proof for that. But rather the proof is, because of that, we see that similarity in birds to fish is a good reason why we should compare them to fish also as far as shchita and say that they require only one simon, so that they're halfway on the way to fish, which require no shchita at all. Okay. The Gemara continues, Va'od Shalai. Also, a Roman official asked him. Rashi explains that the beginning of this is a Gemara in Bechoras. So we'll learn in a few months, Beis Hashem. So he asked Rabbi Gamliel a bunch of questions, trying to trip him up on different things of Pesukim. And each time, Rabbi Gamliel answers him that you don't know what you're talking about. So now here's another thing. The fellow was named Kuntrikos. So Rashi over here writes Kuntrikoin. He was a Roman official, Kuntrikos a Hegmon. So he asked Rabbi Gamliel a bunch of questions in Bechoras, and then here he asked him another one. He says, a seeming contradiction between two psukim. Kosev echad omer vayomer the king yishut zamayim shedet nefesh chaya v'ofi oifif. One pasuk says that Hashem says the waters should swarm with swarms of living creatures and birds that fly. Talmud Maya Iru. So we see that the birds were created from the water. But then later on, the pasuk says that Yisra Hashem alikim min ha'adama ochayas asod of eitzpolip shemayim. Then the pasuk says that Hashem formed from the earth all of the animals of the wild and all the birds of the heavens. Alma ba'at alma me'ara Iru. So they were created from the dirt. So which is it? The answer is they were created from mud, so it's both water and dirt. Raw Talmidim Mustaklim Zebazah, so the Braisa continues. That Rav Gamliel saw his Talmidim staring at one another, as though they're looking at each other, like, is that really the answer? Or are you just doing that? Are you just saying that in order to fob the sky off? So he tells him, you're thinking it's hard. Rashi, Tosfos, by the way, says it wasn't Rav Gamliel, it was actually this Kuntrikus asks Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai. In fact, we have, when we learn in Bechoris, we'll actually learn that that's who he was addressing. He was addressing Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai and asking him these questions. Who this Kuntrikus was, by the way, there's a few historical characters that he might be identified with. There were various governors of Syria and Eretz Yisrael that bore similar names, might have been one of them. Anyway, so again, Rashi's saying he asked Rabbi Gamliel. Tosfos says he asked Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. So Rabbi Gamliel, or Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, the plot says to his Talmidim, you're finding it difficult to accept this answer. You're thinking that I just pushed away my enemy with a straw, that's not the real answer, and I'm just fobbing them off with a cheap answer. No, in fact, Rabbi Gamliel, or Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai says, minamayim nivru, the true answer is, you're right, the true answer is the birds were created from the water. The lama has the end of the Adam. So why does the pasuk say later on that Hashem created them from the earth? Is because there the context is that it's saying that Hashem brought them to Adam, likris lahem shein, to give names to them. We know that Adam was able to see the ruach nesekasilus of every animal and bird and name them appropriately. The Medrash goes on to say, by the way, that then Hashem asks Adam, so what do you think is the appropriate name for me? And Hashem then coined the name Adonai for Hashem, because you're Adam, because you're master over all the creatures, and he also coined the name Adam for himself, because that was created from Adam. You know, that's the famous thing that the Medrash says, that Hashem says to the Malachim, you think you're greater than Adam, you have no ability to understand these kinds of things, you wouldn't be able to name the animals. The names are not just arbitrary, they represent the Chayus Aliki, as the Alter Rebbe is talking about in Tanya these days, the energy of Hashem that pours into everything through the letters of its name, to be Mechaya, and Mechaya, and Adam was able to recognize that in the Malachim one another. Anyway, the point is, in other words, Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, is telling us Talmidim that when the pasuk says, "Vayitzir Hashem alekim min ha'adama, tochayas asoda," that means only that if Hashem created the chayas asoda out of the earth, as it had said in the previous parak. When the pasuk continues, "Ves oif hashamayim, ves kol oif hashamayim," it doesn't mean that Hashem created the birds from the dirt. In fact, he created them from the water, like it says in the previous parak. It just means that Hashem brought both the animals and the birds together to Adam to have him name them. The Yesh Omen, Veloshin Acher, Omel Oysa Hegman, Veloshin Rishon, Omel Ahem Tamidah. A different version is that it was the other way around, that Rabbi Gamliel, or Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, gave the second answer to the Hegman, to this Kuntrikus fellow, and told him that the answer is that the second passage doesn't mean Hashem created the birds out of the earth. It's just telling us that Hashem brought the animals and the birds together to Adam, or Veloshin Rishon, Omel Ahem Tamidah. And according to that version, the first explanation about them being created from the mud is what he told his Talmidim, is the true answer. So in other words, you have two different versions, which is the correct answer, which is the true answer, versus which is the one that he used to tell this Tuntrikan to get him off his back. So that's Rashi's first explanation. Then Rashi gives a second explanation, that what it means is that the pasuk Yishu Tzramayim actually does mean that they were created from the earth as well. Because when the pasuk says va'oifi oifif al ha'aretz, when it says va'oifi oifif al ha'aretz, the birds that should fly above the earth, it means they were actually created from the earth. So in other words, the pasuk would be saying that va'yomer lekim yishut zamayim sheref nefesh chaya. Hashem said that the waters should teem with living creatures, meaning at that point Hashem caused the water to give forth all the various kinds of fish and marine life. And then the pasuk would be continuing va'oifi oifif al ha'aretz, and then in addition, from the earth, Hashem created the birds. and they continue to fly above the earth. And then the later passage in Perek Bay is also saying that Hashem created the brewers from the earth. So that actually brings that as a second explanation. However, Rashi says, Vidushin near Be'enai, the first explanation Rashi prefers, which is that the first pasuk is in fact telling us they were created from the water. The second seems to be saying they were created from the earth. So again, either it means they were created from the mud, which is both, or it means that they were in fact created from the water. And when it mentions the earth, it doesn't mean that they were created from the earth. It means the animals were created from the earth, and then the animals and the birds were both brought together to Adam to name them. And the question would be, which answer did Rabbi Gamliel or Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai give this contradicting guy versus which one did he give his Talmudim? Then you have the two different versions. So the fact that the birds are sort of halfway in between the animals and the fish is a reason why to say that birds require a lesser shtita than animals do. So again, animals two simanim, birds only one simon, and fish no simanim at all. So we'll continue tomorrow, Beis Hashem, and we'll talk more about this matter of shtita, of the different amounts of simanim, and how birds and animals and fish are different than one another. Incidentally, you see over here that it says Hashem brought the land animals and the birds to Adam to name, and he named all of them. It doesn't say that Hashem brought him the fish. Fish, again, like we said before, they belong to a whole different order of existence. It's what's called in Chassidus Alma de Skastia. They belong to the world of the hidden, which represents, like we said before, the creatures that are on a higher level and closer to Elikos, and they have less to do with people. And therefore, apparently for that reason, Hashem didn't give Adam the ability or the necessity to name them. So animals and birds have significant names that are significant, that tell us the source, you know, of course, from where their energy comes, as opposed to fish. We don't really have that, except for the passage mentioned that taninim agdolim, the great taninim, which means leviathan. Fine, that's a different thing. But the regular run-of-the-mill fish apparently are not given names on a total level. Of course, all of them have names nowadays in modern Hebrew, but that's the same as they are in any other languages. They're just arbitrary names. Again, maybe the idea being that we don't have to be mavar of them as much, and therefore it's not so important for us to know their names and the source of their ruchnius tikachayus.